Thank you, brother.
All right. Well, this morning I'm going to ask you, if you would, join me in opening your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Okay? Jonah. It's a little book, four little chapters in the Old Testament there, right after Obadiah. Does that help? Right before Micah. Does that help? I don't know what page it is in your Bible, amen, but it's 1076 in mine, but Jonah, amen. One of the great things that you'll ever do as a Christian, one of the greatest things you'll ever do is memorize the Bible books, memorize the books of the Bible. Maybe you don't have memorized a lot of different verses, but boy, memorize those Bible books at least. Start there, amen. If this book is really the Word of God, which it is, and it really is the source of our life. By the way, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got saved because you heard this book. And then you're going to stay strong and walk with God and serve the Lord through the grace and strength that you gain from this book. These are the very words of God. Amen. His message to you and me. But it ought to be precious enough to where you at least learn how to find what you want to find in it. Right? Amen. Let's all stand together if you would. Now that you found it in Jonah chapter 1. I promise you, you will take time. I mean, most of you probably know what every single channel is on your TV. You know where to go. You go home and say, I want to watch this channel. Boom, 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 boom. It's right there. You don't go searching. Where's that channel again? Where's that channel? Well, come on now. So you ought to know where the books of the Bible are. Way before you know the channels on the TV. Amen. Okay. Anyway, I know. I hadn't even started preaching yet, but y'all, bear with me now. I just want to read a few verses here. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, that just means it was a very large city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it. You notice, right off the bat, as soon as we get to verse 3, it's already costing Jonah money.
Yeah.
That's right.
To run from God.
Yeah. Yep.
It's already, the very first thing he did cost him money. Listen, that he did not have to pay.
That's right.
Except for he was running from God.
That's it.
Right.
Amen, brother.
That's not the message this morning. But I want to preach to you this morning from Jonah on this thought. The way God works. The way God works.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your people. But Lord, I thank you for this Bible and how many times, God, it has arrested my heart and my mind and my attention. And God, it's brought me back to focus where Jesus is once again in focus in my own heart and life, your will, your desires, your pleasures. Lord God, thank you for the Bible, for your Spirit. Lord, I don't know what's going on in the hearts and lives of every single person here, but I do know that you work the same way in all of our lives. And Father, I pray you'd help me to bring that out, these simple thoughts here this morning. Encourage us, God, change us, strengthen us. I pray that you'd bind the devil, God, put a holy hedge around this place. God, please, I pray for perfect liberty here now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The way God works. There's a lot of things written in the Bible, as I mentioned earlier. A lot of things, but the number one reason that God's given us His Word is because He wants us to know Him. It's a revelation of Himself. It's a revelation of how else would you know who God is? How else would you know where God is? Or how else would you know what God is or what God does or how, in this case, how God works? Amen. He's given us the Bible. All throughout the Bible, we see God, and we see God interacting with men, with human beings, you and me. And so this morning, I want to take this little book of Jonah, this little man, if you will, one man in this life, and one man in the book of all of these 66 books, one man's life. But I believe we have here a very, very descriptive pattern of how God works in everyone's life. How God works in everyone's life. Number one thing, I'm going to jump right into this, and this is not going to take all morning, but I want you to see, God, number one, in verse 1, chapter 1, God sends His Word.
Amen.
Okay? You say, that's obvious, but wait a minute. That needs to be obvious, but it's not always. God always begins anything in our hearts through His Word.
Amen.
God always begins to, whenever He wants to interact with you, it's going to come through His Word. Whenever He wants to guide you, guard you, protect you, help you, strengthen you, whenever He wants to take personal, think about this, personal attention in your life. This was God speaking to Jonah. This was not God speaking to a crowd. This was God speaking to one person. One person. One person. God speaking to Jonah. This was God's personal attention, undivided attention on one man. Then God always uses His Word when He wants to interact with you. It's going to start with God and His Word. See, God's not going to do anything if it's not through His Word. It ain't God.
Amen.
If you're doing what you're doing based on any other reason than God's Word, then it ain't from God.
Amen.
God always starts in His interaction, His relationship with you began through His Word. As I mentioned earlier, faith in Jesus Christ came because you were presented the gospel somehow, somebody, somewhere. Open up the Bible, they better have.
Amen.
If your salvation is not based on the Word of God, it's not based on Jesus Christ, and it ain't Bible salvation.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, the written Word of God. You cannot be born again except somebody show you from the pages of this book, amen, or at least quote it to you something, not their own little experiences, not their own little ideas, but God's Word is what came into your heart and opened up your eyes to see the glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ, and you put your faith and you relied and called upon the name of the Lord. It came from this book.
Amen.
And ever since then, God has been working in your life. If God's working in your life, it's going to start and it's going to continue through the Bible. God's Word. And then what God does through God's Word, number two, is He reveals His will. His will. What He wants from you. What He wants you to do. Verse 2. Arise, He said to Jonah through His Word, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Now, I'm not going to focus really so much on the details of that verse. God told Jonah to get up, boy, and go to this city, a big, huge city, and preach against their sin. That's what it was. But I'm not even, that's not God's will for everybody.
That's right.
I mean, obviously, ladies, you're not going to go preach against the sin of Nineveh. Neither am I. I've never been to Nineveh. I probably never will. But listen to me this morning. I'm just going to point out the obvious here is that was God's will for Jonah. That was what God wanted to do in Jonah, for Jonah, with Jonah, through Jonah. That was God's plan for Jonah's future. Are you listening to me? So, you see, God uses His Word. God then, through His Word, reveals to you what His will is for your life. Now, this is a very specific will for Jonah's life. Go to Nineveh, preach the gospel, preach the Bible, preach against sin. It was very specific. By the way, let me say this to you also. There was no question marks in there.
Yeah, that's right.
There was nothing that was hard to understand. There was nothing that was hard to figure. There was nothing that demanded, you know, prayer. There was nothing that demanded a Bible study. There was nothing that even demanded a dictionary. There was nothing that demanded another version. There was nothing in that verse that was concealed and covered up and mysterious and secret. It was plain as the nose on your face. God said, arise, go to Nineveh, cry out against their sin. It was God's will revealed through God's Word, and it was plain as day. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's how God works. Now, God does that still today. This is the pattern that God uses, the same pattern in all of our lives. He uses His Word. And then at first it was your salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's Word came to you when you first got saved, and but when you first heard the gospel, God's Word came to you, and then God's will was revealed to you. Hey, you must be born again. Thou must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And you must be born again. So that's God's will, and it came to you through God's Word. And it was not hard to figure out. The Bible says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. We must be saved. I don't need to figure. I must be saved. I must be born again. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's Word coming to you and me as a man, a sinner, understanding God loved me. God sent Jesus Christ to die for me, and therefore I can be saved. I'm a whosoever. I qualify. I'm a whosoever through Jesus Christ. I don't have to perish and go to hell. I can have eternal life in heaven. And it was God's Word that came straight to me and revealed God's will to me. And that's how God works. Then, God's Word, God's will, then God waits.
Yep. Amen.
Then He says, okay, son.
Amen.
God's Word, revealing God's will, then God waits. He says, okay, you know what I want. I've told you what I want. I've told you what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
I've told you what is going to please me. I've told you what is going to glorify me. Now, I'm going to wait. As God waited, Jonah ran.
Yep.
How many? Listen, I don't have to ask you this, but this is how God works in all of our lives. How long is God going to have to wait for you?
Amen.
How long is God going to have to wait for you to realize, hey, I need to do what God says? This is God's will for me. But that's another message, maybe. I'll get to that later, maybe. But God waits. Now, we know what Jonah did was obviously not what God said. God didn't stop him. He didn't stop him. God gave him His Word. God gave him His will. And then God waited. Jonah ran. Jonah fled. By the way, you don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to run from it. The whole point behind this book, I believe, and the whole point of this message is that we could learn how God works so that we can learn to be better servants and Christians and more obedient to God and do His will. That's what the whole point of this. See, what God has is His Word to reveal His will so that we will work for Him.
Amen.
Are you listening to me this morning? Y'all wake up now. It's not overly complicated, I know, but yet it hits everybody right in the stinking kitchen. I know it does, because that's how God works. And some of you right now, God's still waiting on you.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
You're still running. You're still trying to decide how I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's costing you every single day of your life.
That's
right. God's waiting. So God decides then, okay, my servant, my child, the one who I bought with the blood of my son, the one who I paid the ransom for, his soul, the one who I have given him everlasting eternal life, he's running from me.
Yeah, help us.
So, how does God work now? Well, then after God sends His Word, God sends His will, and then God waits, He sees Jonah's running, then God sends waves. Look what it says in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. God sent the wind and the waves because Jonah said, nope.
That's right.
Nope. I'm not doing that. I mean, I'm telling you what, I could give you example after example. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more when you see that day approaching. The Bible says we're not to ever forsake the assembling of this church together, the assembly of the saints of God. We're not supposed to forsake it. In other words, it's not that we can't come, we just forsake it. We don't come.
Yeah.
And then God waits.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. To see how long you're going to run from him.
Yeah.
Tonight, when you don't come back, that's what you're doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you're not. It's not that you can't. It's not that you are sick. It's not that you have so much else to do. No, you just forsake it.
That's right. Come on.
And God's going to wait.
Amen.
And then sooner or later, when he sees, I'm just going to keep running, he says, okay, here comes the winds.
Yeah, that's right.
Here comes the waves.
Yep.
Here comes the storms. You see, God does this in everybody's life. Come on, you know what I'm talking. Some of you are riding those waves right now.
Come on.
Yeah. Preach. Some of you are, and you're wondering what's going on. I'm trying to tell you what's going on.
That's right.
God, this is how God works.
Amen.
This is the way God works. His word, by the way, don't expect him to change his word for you.
That's right.
I mean, are you kidding me? Are you that full of yourself?
Come on.
You think it doesn't apply to me? Are you that arrogant?
Come on.
I think some of us, I know Americans are. But dear God, don't fool yourself. God's not going to rewrite this book for you. That's what man does. That's why there's 200 some odd versions. Well, let's rewrite that. Oh, God, no, God's not going to change his word for me. And I don't want him to. Because if he changed it one time, then he would no longer be God. He would no longer be faithful. He would be no longer trustworthy. I couldn't trust him. I wouldn't know if I'm saved or not. I wouldn't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I wouldn't know if I'm forgiven or not. If God ever changed one word of his book, I would be lost.
Right. Absolutely. Amen.
He's not going to change it for me. I don't want him to. Amen. He's not going to change it for you. I don't want him to. You shouldn't want him to. But then he waits. He says, okay, you're not going to do it. Here comes the wind. Here comes the waves. Here comes the storm.
Yeah.
Here comes the chastening hand of God. Here comes the beating. And see, I want you to notice something. The Bible says here, in verse 5, the mariners, the sailors, were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the waves that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, hold on just a minute. Just because you are at peace with your rebellion doesn't mean it's okay. There was a time, I don't know how long he was asleep in that storm, dearly beloved. But there was a time where the sailors were running around, pulling their hair out, worried about dying in this storm, and he's down here sound asleep. See, here's what people say to me all the time. I say, that's not God's will. You shouldn't do that. That's not God's will. Well, I have peace about it.
Yep.
Jonah had peace. He was asleep.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
You may have peace right now, but listen to me. He got woke up.
That's right.
See, God sent the wind and the waves, and then God woke him up. That's how God works, y'all.
Amen.
God woke him up. He was asleep in the storm. He knew what he was doing. But understand something. His heart was so hard that he just went to sleep.
That's right.
We can get that hard, can't we? We can get that numb. We can get that hard-hearted and adamant. I'm not going to do that. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what I know it's right, but I'm just not. I'm just going to stay at home and I'm just going to go to sleep tonight.
Uh-huh. Come on, preach it. Preach.
Help us, Lord.
I'm just going to go to sleep tonight.
Amen.
Yeah.
After all, I got to get my rest. Because God's not able to give me rest. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm just going to go to sleep.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Now, I'm not God, and aren't you glad? I'm not God, I'm glad. But the fact of the matter is, God will wake you up.
Yeah, he will.
Amen.
If you keep on sleeping when you're supposed to be going to Nineveh. God will wake you up if you keep on sleeping when you're supposed to be doing His will. So I'm at peace about this, preacher. Okay, you may have peace now. I understand that. But how long until God has to wake you up? There's a story of King David had the general of his army was named Joab, the captain of his host. Basically, he was the general of all the armies of David, the armies of Israel. Well, David kept sending a message to Joab. Joab, I want to talk to you. Come see me. Joab, I want to talk to you. And Joab just kept ignoring him. He was too busy. He had too much to do. And you know what David said? David said, look, he sent one of his messengers over there. He said, look, I want you to go over there. And Joab had a big field. A wheat field, I can't remember. But anyway, he had a big open field. He said, you know what? I'm tired of that man ignoring me. Go over there and light his field on fire. And he did. And you know, Joab came running to them. They said, what are you doing? Why did you light my field on fire? He said, I've been calling you for months. Where you been? I had to get your attention somehow.
Amen, brother. Yeah,
hallelujah. How long is it going to be before God lights your field on fire?
Yeah.
He's going to wake you up. He's going to wake you up. You say, well, preacher, I've been like this for years. I don't care. He's going to wake you up because this is how God works.
Amen.
By the way, I've got written in my Bible right here. You don't have to write it, but it's, thank you, Lord, for the early storm.
Amen. Sorry.
Thank you, Lord, for the early storm. Please don't delay my chastening.
Thank you, Lord.
That's crazy, isn't it? No, that's what God laid on my heart one day. I realized that was a blessing. He could have let Jonah get all the way to Tarshish. He could have let Jonah get all the way. He could have let Jonah marry the wrong woman. Raise children in Tarshish. Have an absolute broken, miserable life, but the storm came early.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
See, even those storms are a blessing when God's trying to wake you up. God doesn't want you to do what you want to do. God has a will for your life, and He's going to work in that will. And listen, if you run from it, then He's going to say, okay, here comes the wind, here comes the waves, wake up! Here comes the fire in your field.
Yep.
And then, God had a whale. God had a whale. When I was in Bible college, I preached a sermon. We got to preach every once in a while. It's, you know, 10-minute sermons. Couldn't get 5 minutes out of them, but, you know, 10-minute sermons. And I remember, I still remember it. God, I still remember today, where there's a will, there's a whale. Now, God has a will. You know, we talk about where there's a will, there's a way. Well, and that's foolishness.
That's right.
If it's God's will, there's a way. But if it's your will, forget that foolish rationale. Where there's a will of God, I better obey, or there's a whale coming.
That's right.
Amen. If I'm going to do my will, then the whale's coming. See, Jonah was busy doing his will, and God got him. God woke him up and stuck him in the belly of the whale. And listen, that's not where you want to find yourself. I don't have time to read the whole book, but I hope you understand that the wind and the waves came, the storm came on the boat, he woke up and realized, this is my fault. He knew it.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you that. I got to show you that. Amen. In verse 10. Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. See, the way God works is you can't hide your guilty conscience from Him. And you know where you're at.
Yeah.
You know where you're at.
Right.
And you try so hard to make excuses. I've been there. We try so hard to make excuses. We say, but God, I'm really not doing anything wrong. I mean, after all, I'm just on a ship to Tarshish. I mean, God, I'm not sinning. What sin was he doing?
Come on.
He wasn't smoking cigarettes. He wasn't drinking alcohol. He wasn't living in fornication. He wasn't doing anything. He was just running from, oh, that's all. That's no big deal. No, it's a big deal.
Right.
It's everything, dearly beloved.
Right.
The reason people are addicted to alcohol and cigarettes and drugs and fornication is because they're running from God.
Amen.
And we need to thank God for the early storms, like I said, that God didn't let us get that far. But some people are already there, amen. But they know it. Jonah knew where he was at. He knew what was going on. He admitted it to those sailors. What a terrible testimony. What a ridiculous disgrace.
Yeah, amen.
Sad. He knew what was going on. God was beating him up, and he knew it. And he said, throw me overboard, guys. Throw me overboard. Look in verse 12. He said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. Notice this next phrase. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Wow. Brother, sister, listen to me. How must he have felt right there? That whole ship. Now, it wasn't a cruise liner. It's just, you know, way long time ago. It was a rowboat. Didn't have an engine. But there was enough people on board there. They were scared to death. And he said, throw me overboard.
Yeah.
This is my fault. You know how many times I've read that verse and I have just gotten, because I, you know, God uses the book of Jonah in my life too. This is how God works.
Amen. That's right.
He needed to bring Jonah to a place where he finally admitted it was his fault. Yeah. Are you listening?
Yep.
This is how God works. That's not my fault.
No.
Well, this is just a storm. I mean, these things always happen. I mean, after all, we're on the sea. And they do always happen on the sea, by the way. But Jonah knew. But Jonah wasn't... They said, what are we going to do? I mean, the sailors were like, they didn't have a clue what's going on. What are we going to do? And Jonah says, you know what you need to do, guys? Throw me overboard.
Yep.
You need to get rid of me. I'm the problem. Wow. The Bible says, cast out the scorner and the strife will cease.
Yep. Amen.
There's church discipline all over this thing, but I'm not preaching church discipline today. But listen to me. When a body of believers gets infected by people who are running from God, there has to be an action taken, or else the storm's never going to stop. Because your sin and your rebellion affects many other people around you.
Right.
That whole ship was scared to death. By the way, that whole ship would have gone down.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, if Jonah would have gotten right and said, okay, guys, it's my fault. How many families are broken because mom or dad, they won't admit it's my fault?
Come on.
How many churches because the pastor won't say it's my fault? How many times, boy, you know how many times I had to get along with God and read this book? This book makes me cringe. Because, Lord, I don't want it to be my fault. Lord, if it's my fault, tell me, God. Please tell me. Somebody, please, God, tell me. And again, where am I going to hear it from God? Where am I going to know if it's my fault?
Right.
How's he going to speak to me? How does God work, guys? It starts with his word. How does God interact with me? In his word. And that's why we put it down. No, I don't want to be that. Let's go find a devotional.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
Let's go find a TV or a radio preacher.
Yeah, right. Help.
Whatever we do, not go to church. Good night. The preacher's going to talk about that Bible and read that Bible. God, but listen, we need to come to a place where we just admit, this is my fault. Oh God, this is my fault. Then the well came, you understand, but then I see God waiting again. Chapter 17, verse 17. Don't look for chapter 17. Verse 17, please. Then I'll know you don't know your Bible. Anyway, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. In the New Testament, Jesus called it a whale, so it's okay. We can call it a whale to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, wait a minute. I believe God, again, waited.
Yep.
He waited.
Yep.
Okay, Jonah. There's the wind. There's the waves. I woke you up. You're in the well. Now what? It was 3 days and 3 nights, it says, he was in the belly of the whale. See that? That's what it says at the end of verse 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second chapter, verse 1, says he prayed. When? If I know human nature, if I know Jonah, if I know me, it was 3 days later I started praying. Hey, listen to me. Because God's waiting. God said, okay, you're in the belly of the whale. You know this is your fault.
Amen.
And boy, we wait one day. We wait 2 days. On the third day, we finally realize, I don't want to do this anymore. And we finally come to the altar. Oh, God. Oh, God, please. Oh, Father, forgive me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, please. Oh, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, I'm wrong. This is my fault. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, I don't want to stay in this belly. This is terrible. I don't want to live like this the rest of my life. And God's waiting on you to come to that point.
That's right. Amen.
And notice how God works. Now, the whole chapter 2 is nothing but Jonah praying. I'm not going to go into that too much, but God's waiting for you to come to that place and just admit, hey, I need your help, God.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to sit there for another day in the whale's belly. Pharaoh, you remember Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. And Moses, I almost said Jonah. Jonah was not in Pharaoh's court. Moses was in Pharaoh's court. Neither was Noah, but Jonah was in Pharaoh's court. And Moses said, Pharaoh, I'm going to get all these names mixed up. Pharaoh, let God's people go that they may serve him. And Pharaoh said, no. And finally the frogs came. And it was like the fourth or fifth plague. I can't remember now. Forgive me. But the frogs, he said, I'm going to send a plague of frogs. And there were frogs everywhere. I mean, there were frogs in his bed. There were frogs in his toilet. There were frogs on his kitchen sink. There were frogs in his oven. There were frogs everywhere. There were frogs in the front yard, the backyard. There were frogs in the car. There were frogs at work in my desk. There were frogs all over the place. Frogs everywhere. Not frogs, frogs. And that would be a plague if there were frogs like that. That would be a terrible plague. Anyway, but there were frogs everywhere. Gross, disgusting, slimy, smushy, mushy. Everywhere you stepped on them, they... And you have to try to eat. And anyway... Pharaoh finally said, oh, I can't take this anymore. I can't take this anymore. I don't want Moses, he called for Moses. Moses, please, that's enough. Go serve your God. And Moses said, okay. He said, go ask your God to take care of these, get rid of these frogs. And Moses said, I'm paraphrasing, Moses said, okay, Pharaoh, when should I ask God to take care of that? And he says, tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
So you mean you want another night with the frogs?
Yeah, I'm waiting for tomorrow.
See, why did Pharaoh say tomorrow? Because his heart really wasn't right. In other words, he wanted to live another night with the frogs. And there's a message, very popular message years and years ago, one more night with the frogs. That's the way people are, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, well, I forgive you. Okay, well, just give me one more night with that sin. You ain't ready.
Right.
Just give me one more week. Just give me one more day. Just give me one more time. One more cigarette. One more beer. One more jack. One more. Just give me one more. Just give me one more. Listen, and that's, your heart's still not right. By the way, Pharaoh wasn't. He didn't repent. He just kept on and on and on until he finally died.
That's right. Amen.
Jonah finally got right. He said, "I don't want another day in this whale's belly. I don't want another day in this putrefied, sick, disgusting puke." I mean, can you? Anyway. So how does God work? Well, God heard his prayer of repentance, which, by the way, he will hear your prayer of repentance. And this is one of the best verses in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time.
Yeah.
Amen.
What a merciful God.
Amen.
Amen.
What a merciful God. Why did God give Jonah another chance? I don't know. I always ask myself, why did God even want to use Jonah? He never had a good attitude. Even after he went and preached to the Ninevite, he still had a rotten attitude. I don't even know, but then I realized, oh, wait a minute. Thank God he did use Jonah. That means he can maybe use me.
Amen.
Listen now, don't take your halos off and put them down for a minute. That means maybe he can use me.
Amen.
But Jonah got right for that time. And the word of the Lord came unto him the second time. And what did he say the second time? The exact same thing he said the first time. God's word came to him again. And then God's will was repeated to him. It did not change. Go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it this preaching that I bid thee. Go preach, son. Go preach, son. Go preach, son. Go preach, son. God's word said, go preach, son. Go preach, son. And Jonah did not change. It did not change. Jonah could not wiggle out of it. It was still God's gift and calling, or without repentance.
Yeah. Right.
He doesn't go back on them. God's will for you ain't going to change because you don't like it. It ain't going to change for me if I don't like it. And that's where we've started off, and that's where we're going to end. How does God work? Through His Word.
That's right.
Telling me His will.
Amen.
Then He waits.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
How long is it going to take you?
Yeah.
I can hear God in heaven. How long is it going to take you, son? How long is it going to take you, daughter? How long is it going to take you? Okay, some wind. Some waves, waking up, then a whale, then he waits. How long is it going to take you? One day, 2 days, 3 days. How many days are you going to lay in that belly of that whale? He cried out to God. And then how does God work? He hears the cries of his children who are repenting. And then his word comes again. See, when you get your heart right and you know that you get back in God's will, the first thing you must do is go back to his word. Because that's how he's going to continue to guide. That's how God works. That's how God works. I want you to notice, his word came to Jonah again. His will was repeated again. And then notice though, Jonah this time did it. Hey, and then God worked.
Yeah.
Man, this is the part that I have trouble understanding. Look what it says here. Jonah rose in verse 3, chapter 3, and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He cried and said, yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now I don't believe that's all he said, but that was the message. That was the crux of the message. But so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, the greatest of them, even to the least of them. The word came into the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him, covered his sackcloth and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king. And the nobles say, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty unto God. Yea, let them turn away everyone from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, to turn away his fierce anger, that we perish not? Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing to hear that from our White House?
Amen.
Right. Never going to happen, I don't think. Unless maybe God's got a preaching call for you to go preach to the White House. I don't know. But what I'm saying is this. God worked.
Right.
Look, God did that. Jonah didn't do that.
Right.
Jonah just simply obeyed.
Right.
And God did that. God worked that. God brought the whole city of Nineveh to their knees.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
That's how God works.
Man.
He chooses to use people like Jonah.
Yeah.
You, me, every one of you has a will.
Yeah.
That God has for your life. Then God's going to show it to you through His Word.
Amen.
And if you'll do what He says, He will do the work.
Amen.
He will do the work. That's how God works. Now, somewhere in that story, you find yourself. Somewhere in that story, we fit. That's where I fit. You're in there somewhere because that's how God works. Where are you at? God's not going to work differently for you.
Sorry.
No, I'm not sorry. I'm glad. But you understand, God's not going to work differently for you or me. That's how God works. God's word brings His will. Then He waits. Is He still waiting for you? Then there's wind, waves, a whale, and then He waits again. How long is He going to wait? Because if His word will come to you again, if you'll repent, His will be, it's still the same, but then He'll work. And you'll be able to see Him work. And you'll be a used of God. Jonah, by the way, let me just remind you, Jonah was nothing special. Do you get that picture?
Right.
Nothing special.
Right.
He just did what God told him to do.
Amen. Amen.
Where are you at? Because God's working in your life too. Where are you at? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you.